It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your voicemails, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-272-9461.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do. And don't you ever forget that.
And now your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
To the listening audiences in Mobile, Montgomery, Huntsville, and beyond. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We are really excited about tonight's program, so let's get to it. Tonight, we have three fantastic members of this evening's conversation team. The first is Ms. Aquilin Kennedy.
Good evening, everyone.
Who serves as the president of Kennedy Strategic Communications. The second, joining us in studio, is Mr. Joe Bonner, who is the president of the University of South Alabama. And the last, but not least, is Mr. Charlie Moss, who is working the production board and keeping Kennedy for Alabama sounding good on the airwaves. So, Aquilin, tell me something good.
Well, I'll tell you one of the best things ever is our veterans, and we are going to celebrate them on November 11th today. And if you're not hearing this today, if you're hearing it over the weekend, happy Veterans Day weekend and Veterans Day. Also wanted to share that November 11th is my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Lowry.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting when we think back to Veterans Day and those of us who had the honor and opportunity to serve. But one of the things that I always like to highlight during this time of year is it's not only the individuals who serve in uniform, but those individuals are supported by a number of Department of Defense civilians and also other individuals and other government organizations that do all of the various work in order for the folks who are in uniform to be able to accomplish their mission. So we take this opportunity while we accept thanks for our service, for those of us who served in uniform. We want to take the opportunity to thank all of the people who supported us as well. So with that, now for some headlines from our archives. The first headline is from NBC.com. It reads, University of South Alabama Project SOAR aims to curb youth violence. It was written by Andrea Ramey and published on the 27th of July, 2022. The second headline comes to us from the southalabama.edu website. It reads, Whidden College of Medicine welcomes the largest class. It was posted on the 29th of July, 2022. The final headline comes from Lanyap Mobile. It reads, Joe Bonner inaugurated as South Alabama. He stresses enrollment and growth. It was written by Scott Johnson and published on the 23rd of September, 2022. And with that, I look to my left here in studio and see Joe Bonner, president of the University of South Alabama. How are you doing today?
Robert, I'm doing great, and I'm honored to be on your program. I listen to it every Thursday night, and it's also good to see the face of a dear friend, someone I've known for a long time. I remember when I first met you as a young man who aspired to go to the United States Naval Academy. And you'd come in to visit with then Congressman Sonny Callahan. And that you did, and you've served our country admirably and with distinction. Now continue to serve our community in your leadership role. And I just wanted to tell you what an honor it is to be with you and also join your lovely wife in thanking you and all of our veterans. I've had the privilege of speaking at the William F. Green Veterans Home up in Bay Minette on this Veterans Day. And it's always a treat to go up and to see. We've got one who's 103 years old.
Oh, wow.
World War II veteran. And to get to see the men and women who have put that uniform on and have given their all for their country and have come back. And many of them now are letting their country say thank you, even though that never was the motivation for their service. It's a day that we take. And make it a very special day in the life of this community here in South Alabama.
Well, thank you for your kind words. You know, it's interesting. I've mentioned several times whenever your name comes up in conversation that you're an individual that I've known since high school, and it always kind of piques people's interest, you know.
I was a couple years ahead of you.
You know, it's amazing to think about just perspective of that point in my life. And I remember the night that we were first introduced was pretty close to the time that I met the congressman. Mobile was going through a strike, and I can't remember if it was International Paper or Scott Paper Company. And the night of the town hall meeting, as everyone was talking about issues of the strike, I was reaching out to the congressman trying to figure out how to find some money to air condition our high school. So at the time, I was at John S. Shaw High School as a senior student council president. And kids today never know the struggle that there was a time when high schools were not air conditioned. So that shows how far back we go. But as you mentioned, that started our introduction. Y'all helped me navigate the process of getting to the Naval Academy. And I often talk about, as a kid from Pritchard, Alabama, that was the single catalyst that changed my life. So everything came from that point forward. So as always, thank you so much for your assistance in helping me along that path.
Well, it was a real honor for us to be a small part of it. You know, getting an academy appointment, for instance, and really getting any other type of benefit from the federal government, whether it's a veterans benefit that people have earned, whether it's Social Security or disability or whatever, it's complicated because the average citizen doesn't really understand how to navigate the system.
Sure.
And that's where, in this case, Congressman Jerry Carl and Senator Richard Shelby for a few more weeks and Senator Tommy Tuberville, that's where our federal elected representatives come in handy. A lot of times we watch them on TV and they're talking about the political hot button issues, and it seems like it's got everybody riled up and stirred up. But the average member of Congress and senator spend most of their time helping their constituents. And in your case, it was helping a young man from Pritchard, Alabama, see a brighter future by serving his country, by getting a world-class education, and by having an opportunity to prepare you for the leadership opportunities that you have continued to have. So we were there to cheer you on and to give you a pat on the back as you were climbing that ladder. But I will give credit to the wonderful military that we've got in this country, the Navy, the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, the Merchant Marines. I mean, we are so blessed to live in a country where we live in freedom, but freedom, as you know better than anybody, isn't really free, and it comes at a tremendous sacrifice, and that's those men and women and their families that serve our country with pride and honor.
So that actually serves as an interesting segue into what it is that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about today. But before we get into the particulars of the University of South Alabama, I'd actually like you to think back to the time when you were deciding that you were going to go to college, and just kind of what were some of the things that you were thinking about at that particular time, and what was it that ultimately guided your decision?
Well, as you say, we met when you were in high school. I was already out of high school. So my dad died in 1973. I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. My mother and father had put my brother and sister, who are 14 and 12 years older, respectively, than I am, through college. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't get out with a tremendous debt like so many young people are dealing with today. And daddy died, and I was really uncertain about whether my mother, who did not have a college education. She was a registered nurse. Actually met Daddy during World War II.
Oh, wow.
When he came out of anesthesia from a kidney stone operation, she was the nurse to bring him out, and the rest is history. But my mother had given up being a nurse. She was helping my dad in his law practice. Daddy died. There was no law practice. So I wasn't real sure. Troy University, back then it was known as Troy State, offered a leadership scholarship to young people. It wasn't a lot of money, but, you know, it was a lot of money if you were unsure how this was going to happen. So I had an opportunity to go to Troy. My brother and sister had both gone to Alabama. Mm-hmm. The University of South Alabama, where I am today, was really just getting started.
Sure.
They were entering, you know, the second decade, and it was still a shell of what it is today on our beautiful campus. But my mother said, we're going to get there. I also mm-hmm. benefited because my dad had earned the GI Bill, and
sure.
so I had some veterans benefits, not as many as we've got today, but they still were very helpful to me. So I started at a community college. I took my first two classes at Lurleen B. Wallace Community College. That gave me confidence that I could actually do well in college. And then I ended up going to Alabama, and between the GI Bill and my mother working and making sacrifices, and we all did a little bit of that. I was able to get an education in 4 years. I will say it was a life-changing moment for me, as it is for so many young students.
Sure.
But I'll also tell you that I never in a million years thought when I got that diploma that I would one day be leading a university.
So most of the listening audience is familiar with you and what you did, both in elective office and roles that supported individuals in elected office. But what I want to touch on before we talk about you being at the university was you spent some time working at the University of Alabama as well. What did you do at the University of Alabama?
Well, so I was in Congress for six terms, elected for six terms. I left in 2013. And I left actually because I realized that the political debate and discourse in this country was going in a direction that just I was not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I didn't think you had to look at someone from the opposite political party and automatically see your enemy. I
right.
thought that the best way to get things done was to find common ground and work together if at all possible. And I think since then you've seen the country become unfortunately more divided mm-hmm. And more separated than maybe any time in the last 50 years. I know the 60s, I was a little boy at the time, but I remember the 60s were a pretty violent time with the assassination of President Kennedy and Dr. King and Senator Kennedy and the war, Vietnam, and just a whole period of unrest. But I really do think the last few years, unfortunately, have reminded a lot of people of that very divisive time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I got a phone call from the then chancellor of the University of Alabama system, Dr. Bob Witt. Dr. Witt had been become president of the campus in Tuscaloosa at about the time I'd been elected to Congress in 2003. And he asked me if I would consider coming to work with him and his team to set up the first economic development office. Economic development, Robert, as you know, is so important to our state, certainly to our
sure.
region. And it was one of the things that I had focused a lot of my time and effort as a congressman on in trying to get contracts for the Austal shipyard to build Navy ships, trying to get a contract for Airbus to build the tanker. And then when that blew up, to have a chance to bring Airbus here to build commercial airlines. And that was that ended up being a blessing in disguise.
Oh, of course.
So it was an opportunity professionally for me to get out of the political arena and get full bore into the arena of trying to focus on helping to build a better economy mm-hmm. and opening the doors and lifting the boats for all people in this great state. And I only was there 5 years, but it was a great segue to what I'm currently doing because, you know, whether you're in politics, whether you're in broadcasting, whether you're in the nonprofit world, whether you're in banking or whatever, it's all about relationships.
Absolutely.
And so that gave me an opportunity really to travel around the state, all 67 counties, and see what incredible opportunities we've got as a state, not just the six counties I was so fortunate to represent here in the United States Congress.
So thank you for that background, and I want to use that to segue to your current role. So you have that experience, obviously, in government, outside of government, focusing on economic development and some of the other things that you've done since you transitioned out of elected office. So now University of South Alabama comes up as an opportunity that you are in the consideration set for. So as you were kind of going through that interview process, what were your thoughts about the opportunity, kind of what your vision or your priorities would be if you were fortunate enough to be selected? And then once you got there and started kind of figuring out what's going on, how has that either been reinforced or changed?
Well, it was actually a year ago this week that I was announced that I would be the board's choice to be the fourth president. And I will tell you, when Dr. Waldrop announced the previous president spring of last year, that he was going to be retiring after being there for 6 years, the last thing I even on my radar was that, well, I might put my name in the hat for that.
Okay.
But it was really just hours after Dr. Waldrop made his decision that he was ready to move on, that I started getting phone calls. And I had three calls in that one day, first day, from alumni, from one person worked at the university. Most of the people were just people that loved the University of South Alabama.
Sure.
And they said, Joe, you need to put your name in the hat. And I kind of laughed and said, I'm so flattered, but they'll be looking for someone who's got a traditional academic resume, someone who's climbed the ladder of academia and has probably got a PhD and all those other terminal degrees that I don't have. And actually, Robert, that first day of three calls mushroomed, and by the end of the week, I'd had about 15 or 16 calls from people. But there was a common denominator. All of them loved the University of South Alabama.
Hmm.
All of them loved the region of South Alabama, and they thought that I might be able to use my relationships from my prior jobs to try to help take the university to the next level. And that's really all we've tried to do ever since that announcement in November of last year and my first day on the job of January 1st of this year, is try to build on what others have already, the foundation, if you will, Dr. Fred Whitten, who was the first university president.
Okay.
And what he did helped build the way for President Gordon Moulton, who was the second president.
Mm-hmm.
And what President Moulton did led to the opportunities that Dr. Waldrop had. So it's not just the presidents. It's the faculty. It's the staff. It's 90,000 alumni, if you can believe that. This university turned 60 next year.
Oh, wow.
And so it's still a young university in some measure. But in many ways, it has grown exponentially each year, each decade, to where we now are the largest employer in the city of Mobile.
Wow.
One of the largest having one of the largest economic impacts in the entire region, 9,000 employees, 987 faculty. A lot of those are people that work in our health system, USA Health. We've got just shy of 14,000 students.
Right.
And our job every day, especially on the student front, on the campus front, is to make sure that our students have an opportunity at an affordable price to get a world-class education that's going to guarantee a brighter future.
You know, I sent out a Facebook post earlier today, and I said, hey, I'm doing a radio segment on University of South Alabama. Why did you, as alums, choose to go? And it was interesting to get that wide variety of answers back, but it literally distilled down to what it was you just said. It is, you know, world-class education at an affordable price. Most of the folks who were responding to me were folks who were from Mobile, so when they were evaluating it versus alternatives. But I was actually pleasantly surprised to see that a number of them are individuals who came to Mobile from other places in the region and then subsequently decided to stay. So I was just curious, is your research confirming what people do once they go through the University of South Alabama system? Does it increase the likelihood that they'll end up staying and being employed in the region, et cetera, et cetera?
It does. You teed this up nicely because this isn't – you remember the old commercial for Oldsmobile, this isn't your father's Oldsmobile. Mm-hmm. Well, this isn't the University of South Alabama that people in my age and older, and I just recently turned 63, but it's not the university that a lot of people remember. It was a good university in its founding. Dr.
Sure.
Whitten had the almost audacity, if you will, in 1963 to say, as the University of Alabama was trying to figure out what they were going to do with their satellite campus in Birmingham, that's now UAB,
right?
Their satellite campus in Huntsville, that's now the University of Alabama in Huntsville.
Okay.
Their satellite campus in Montgomery, that's now Auburn University at Montgomery. And their satellite campus in Mobile, which was the University of Alabama Extension Center in Mobile, they were trying to figure out what to do with it. And the leadership of Mobile at the time said, well, we don't want to be a satellite campus. We want our own campus. And that's how it started. And less than a decade later, Dr. Whitten went back to the legislature and Governor Wallace and said, you know, guys, not only are we growing, we want our own medical school. And so you look at the health care aspect, and I know your show talks a lot about healthcare.
Sure.
It's rare that that doesn't come up at some point each week. But you got to go back to the fact that the first medical school in the state of Alabama was in Mobile. It moved to Tuscaloosa to the University of Alabama. It moved to UAB. And now we've got two medical schools, and UAB is world class, and we partner with them every chance we can. But one of the things we're so proud of in Mobile at the University of South Alabama and USA Health is that we're doing the same thing for this part of the state and this part of the Gulf Coast. That's why we are out there saying every chance we can. We don't want to just be the best university in Mobile and Baldwin counties. We want to be the flagship of the Gulf Coast.
Right.
And we see that as an opportunity to do that, to reconnect this campus with the greater Gulf Coast community, and to do even more to help educate, to help serve, to help do research that will not only save lives, but hopefully change lives for the better.
I was having a conversation via email earlier today with one of my classmates who works down at Ingalls. And we were just talking about how easily folks just flow from here to Mississippi and back, or from here over to Pensacola and back. And really, that's the way that we have to think about our little piece of heaven down here. Is it's not just South Alabama. It's the whole Gulf Coast region. So, you know, Sunday, I went up to Birmingham for a Naval Academy alumni event for the state of Alabama, and had a wonderful opportunity to partner not only with the Alumni Association, but with the Parents Club of the students who are currently there, as well as with the candidates in the state of Alabama who are applying for admission to the next class. And that just had me wondering, when it comes to finding students and recruiting students, how are y'all right now expanding your potential reach to find that next generation of talent?
Well, we're doing it in a number of ways. I want to get to the local way in just a second. But when I said this isn't your father's Oldsmobile in terms of our university, one of the examples of that is look at our student body. Today we've got students from all 67 Alabama counties, although Mobile and Baldwin are clearly our largest feeder counties.
Sure.
Our largest out-of-state student body comes from Mississippi, but we're growing in Louisiana and in Florida and even in Texas.
Oh,
the
wow.
Midwest is bringing in. So students from all 67 counties, all 50 states, and this year all 63 countries. So we are very diverse. In fact, we're one of the largest and most diverse student bodies other than the HBCUs in the state of Alabama,
sure,
with about almost 30% minority student body. That's broken down African-American, Asian, Hispanic. It's a large block, and that diversity is what is one of our strengths here on our campus. So one thing we're doing locally is we're actually going to the schools. We're actually taking athletic buses that take the football and basketball and softball team all around, and we're going out to all these different high schools. Not only we're going to start in Mobile and Baldwin counties, and then we're going to work our way across the state line into Mississippi and Florida and do everything we can. We bring students in, and it gives us an opportunity to give them a VIP tour. About 50 or 60 a week come in on our buses, give them a Chick-fil-A breakfast, show them the campus. I'll have lunch with them. And we get them into classes, let them see the dorms. It gives them a chance to see that college is not just an impossible dream. It's a dream that can come true if they want to come to the university.
Absolutely. Well, hey, President Bonner, really enjoying this conversation that we're having so far. Do you have a little bit more time to stay with us?
Absolutely.
Okay. So for those of you who are just now joining us on the show, this is our last show of season five. We're very excited about being able to bring this particular season to an end. And President Bonner has honored us with his time to talk about making the University of South Alabama the flagship institution of the Gulf Coast. So with that, we are actually going to go to a break, and we're going to continue this conversation with President Bonner on the other side. So until then, you have been listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
This question is for all managers. How often do you feel like Charlie Brown's teacher when speaking to your team? With Coached Up, the snooze fest is over. Founder and CEO, speaker, and corporate trainer, Levy D. King III is the answer to attention competition. For 16 years and counting, Coached Up continues to transform messages into life-changing perspectives for his corporate, civic, and nonprofit audiences. Coached Up provides learning and professional development solutions for departments across entire organizations that align and develop with the best of their culture. Clients echo Coached Up by helping to improve collaboration, engagement, and foster team synergy, creativity, and innovation. To reclaim your team's attention and build your organizational culture, call Coached Up at 251-298-7615 or visit Coached Up on Facebook at Coached Up to Success or online at CoachedUpToSuccess.com. That's Coached Up, the number 2, Success.com.
Ever wonder how some brands always seem to be right on target with the sweet spot of their market? Right on time and always top of mind. When choosing Dogwood Productions, these wonders become wonderful connections with your market, specializing in website solutions, new media strategy, and professional communications. Dogwood Productions has worked with some of the Gulf Coast's most prominent brands across many industries, including corporate, legal, hospitality, health, civic, restaurant, real estate, and the arts. And if you haven't visited Dogwood Recording Studios, make an appointment and turn that wonder into a wonderfully groovy experience. Call Dogwood Productions 251-476-0858. That's 251-476-0858. Or visit online dogwoodproductions.com for more information. Our customers agree. If asked, they could, should, and would do it again at Dogwood.
What do business, municipality, government, and nonprofit leaders have in common? The desire to win, to fulfill the mission for the benefit of their customers and constituents. That's why they call us at Kennedy Strategic Communication. At KSC, we help our clients develop strategies for targeting and converting their target markets. We provide branding, public relations, marketing, advertising, executive coaching, campaign and political support, and other business services. With over 25 years of experience in corporate, nonprofit, startup, and political settings from coast to coast, Kennedy Strategic Communication is here to help you capture your best customers. Learn more at KennedyStrategicCommunication.com or call us at 334-544-0510. That's 334-544-0510.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now, let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who are just now joining the broadcast, we have started a very informative conversation with Mr. Joe Bonner, who's the president of the University of South Alabama, about how it is that we want to establish University of South Alabama as the flagship institution of the Gulf Coast. So our show actually airs on FM Talk 106.5 in the Mobile area on Friday evenings with 93.1 in Montgomery and WVNN in Huntsville on Sunday afternoons. So if there are young people that are in those other parts of the state, and you're going to make the argument for why it is they should consider University of South Alabama, what would that be?
Well, Robert, I'm going to have to first say that we want everyone to give us a chance, everyone to come take a look at us. But I also am quick to say that there's a place for you. You just have to sometimes look to see where it is and to find it. And I say that because, you know, while I'm here to promote the University of South Alabama, in Mobile we've got Bishop State, Coastal Alabama up the road in Bay Minette. We've got the University of Mobile, and we've got Spring Hill College, some are public, some are community colleges, private. But they're all great schools. And likewise, in Huntsville and in Birmingham, I could go down the list. But everybody needs to take assessment and look and see what it is they're looking for. College is expensive. It's not free.
Sure.
And so it's like buying your first house or starting your first job. It's a major decision. And what we want to do is show that we've got an assortment of career options that will help you get not only a leg up on your career, but also help you build relationships and personal friendships that will last a lifetime. So engineering, we're one of a handful of schools in the state that has an engineering school. We've got an outstanding school of computing. In fact, the two-star general from Saraland, Alabama, who didn't get in West Point, but came to South and then went ROTC, is now heading up cybersecurity for the entire country, a South Alabama graduate.
Yes.
College of Business, the Mitchell College of Business, the Whitten College of Medicine. Our nursing program is one of the largest and really most renowned in the nation. It's large because we also incorporate online education and graduate education. But it's impressive because our nursing students, when they graduate and take their boards, they graduate at the top of any nursing school in the nation. Allied health, we've got if you want to be a nurse practitioner or you want to be a physician assistant or a nurse anesthetist or emergency medical technician, physical therapist, OT. I mean, I go down the list.
Sure.
Allied health is really one of our – what we're really known for here. But I could go on and on. The College of Education, more teachers in Mobile and Baldwin counties either get a degree or certification from South Alabama than all the other universities combined.
Wow.
And what's more important than good teachers, and we're proud of the role we play with Mobile County Public School, they actually have a program where they will help us do dual credit so that a young person in high school today, if they are a resident of Mobile County, this wouldn't apply to Madison County or to Jefferson County, but if they are one of our students, they will pay the student share of the tuition costs so that by the time they start college, they've got maybe their first semester or maybe their first year out of the way. So a lot of different ways that we're doing this and doing it in a way that's all focused on the student.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting as you were talking about the different formats that education can be provided to students now. I was literally just checking them off the list. So you have your traditional daytime format. It sounds like you have some part-time or night programs. Then you also have some online programs as well. So anybody who wants to have an association with the University of South Alabama really has an option that can fit into their schedule.
The student as a consumer has a lot of options, a lot of good options. And again, we're not going to ever put another university down when we're talking about how proud we are of our university.
Sure.
But one of those options is for people that are already in the workforce and they want to finish their degree and they didn't quite get enough hours in to get that diploma. We're working especially hard to reignite our veterans program. You know, we've got throughout the state a tremendous number of active duty military, as well as for a state of 5 million people, we've got probably as many veterans as any state in the nation.
Oh, wow, yes.
And so honoring that commitment, here we are on Veterans Day, program to our veterans, to our active duty families, and making sure we've got a program. That's all part of it.
Absolutely.
It's really exciting. And what's really most exciting is to hear you really just emphasize, and it's something you told me earlier right before we started the program, that, you know, you have to decide what's best for you and what is your best fit. And if it's college, if it's not college. And I love the way that you are definitely, you know, giving, sharing love with the rest of the schools around here and throughout. So it's just, the biggest thing that I guess I would like to say is thank you for the work you're doing and bringing these students to the campus. You've done a ton of work of going out into those communities, but it sounds like based on what you shared, you brought about over 1,500 young people to campus, who many of whom said they'd never been on a campus before, never even thought about it before. I mean, imagine the types of change that you have made and your team have made in the lives of these children and their families. So I just, huge kudos to you.
Thank you. Well, it's not just bringing them onto campus to recruit them. Once they get there, we want to make sure they get a world-class experience. So our student body president is a young lady named Camille Bonuro. She's from Enterprise, Alabama.
Okay.
She asked me if I would go to Enterprise High School earlier this year and help recruit students that are still there from when she was there. So we did. And we had a welcome unlike anything I've ever seen to be in the Wiregrass, a little bit far mm-hmm. away from our region. You can't yep. get here in an hour. But the great thing about it is that Camille came up with this plan, and she asked me if I would go along with her. We have a brand-new golf cart, and it's called the Presidential Golf Cart. Not the Presidential Limousine, not Air Force One. And so President Camille and I every week go and pick students up on our campus. We take them from their dorm to their classroom, from their classroom to the student cafeteria or to the rec center. It's gotten so popular now, we do it at least once a week, sometimes twice, but it's gotten so popular that I had a student the other day ask me, President Bonner, could we schedule you to come back on Thursday at 10 o'clock? I said, well, I'm not an Uber driver. Okay. So I can't do scheduled appointments, but we love picking them up. And you meet all these incredible students.
Absolutely.
And you find out where they're from, why they chose South Alabama. And, Robert, the one thing that is so endearing in their answers almost to a person is this feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a place where I can be successful. We've got an 18-to-1 faculty-to-student ratio. Mm-hmm. So our faculty know your names. And they not only know your names, they know your story. And what do you need, that little extra help of maybe tutoring or that little bit of extra help. Maybe you didn't come in with a strong math background.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to help make sure that you're not only just going to college and going to classes, but that you're working your way toward a degree that is truly going to prepare you for a brighter future.
Sure. So there are actually two things I had as you and Auckland were having that last exchange. The first is when we talk about higher education, not as competition, but as collaboration, one of the stories I think that comes out of Mobile that does not get as much visibility as perhaps it should is this relationship between a program like Bishop State in nursing, mm-hmm. where students can go get their first 2 years in, and then that transition to University of South Alabama or University of Mobile to complete the BSN requirements. And then, of course, the graduate degrees and terminal degrees that a lot of those young men and young women ultimately end up getting. And that's something that I've seen here in Mobile that I have not seen a whole lot of other places. So definitely shouting out all of our schools locally for their collaborative spirit. The next area that I wanted to touch on was if we're going to be the flagship institution of the Gulf Coast, of course, we have to have students, but we really need world-class faculty and staff that really want to work in facilities that are top flight. So what have y'all been doing to help focus on the facilities and the recruiting of academics and staff?
Well, one of the areas that we are, I would say it's our top priority right now, is that we're well underway toward building a brand new state-of-the-art medical school.
Oh, wow.
Be the newest medical school in the nation. We've got $140 million in the bank, thanks to help from Governor Ivey in the state of Alabama, Senator Shelby and the federal delegation, as well as the USA Foundation, Ms. Maxie Roberts, who runs the foundation. And that's good seed money. In fact, it's well over two-thirds of what we need. But okay. We still need to raise $25 or $35 million more. Why this is important, this isn't just about building South Alabama new medical school building, although we need one. It will allow us to take the, as you said earlier, we've got the largest medical school class we've ever had at mm-hmm. 80 students. It will allow us to go up to 100 students. And with the capacity of going up to 125, mm-hmm. which means that 82% of our medical students stay in the Gulf Coast region and they stay in Alabama to practice. Mm-hmm. So we're training students to help us have a healthier, better quality of life. And when do you think we're going to wake up? I hope it's one day, but when do you think we're going to wake up and say, man, we've got too much health care. Yeah. We're too healthy in Alabama.
Right.
Never. I mean, that's right, Aquilin. So it's a matter of providing more well-trained doctors and nurses and other people in the healthcare facility. Mm-hmm. That new medical school, we'll break ground on it next year. It'll take about 3 years. But it's not only a classroom experience. We're also doing world-class research there. We just honored the life and service of Dr. Johnson Haynes, who is retiring, running our sickle cell program. An incredible man who probably, when he was admitted to medical school as one of the first African-American students at our medical school, could have never envisioned that he would have stayed there and dedicated his life to science. Mm-hmm. So we are very, very proud of the people that we've got, the faculty. You mentioned it. If you don't have world-class faculty, then guess what? You're not providing a world-class education. And we're very fortunate that we've got some of the best in the nation.
Well, you know, we know that as leaders, that any success that we have is ultimately going to be a function of the folks that we take care of every day. And I always love to take the opportunity to emphasize that it is the person down in the trenches or on the deck plates, if we were going to use a Navy metaphor, are the ones that actually allow us to do what it is that we need to do every day. So thanks for giving them a shout out as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me be on your program.
All right. Well, we really do appreciate that. So that is Mr. Joe Bonner, president of the University of South Alabama, who is taking a few minutes of his very, very precious time to spend with us talking about the things that are important when it comes to establishing a world-class institution. So thank you so much for your time. We'll look forward to communicating with you in the months ahead. So for the listeners, we are going to go take another break, and then we will be back on the other side to wrap up Season 5. You're listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
Ever wonder how some brands always seem to be right on target with the sweet spot of their market? Right on time and always top of mind. When choosing Dogwood Productions, these wonders become wonderful connections with your market. Specializing in website solutions, new media strategy, and professional communications, Dogwood Productions has worked with some of the Gulf Coast's most prominent brands across many industries, including corporate, legal, hospitality, health, civic, restaurant, real estate, and the arts. And if you haven't visited Dogwood Recording Studios, make an appointment and turn that wonder into a wonderfully groovy experience. Call Dogwood Productions 251-476-0858. That's 251-476-0858. Or visit online dogwoodproductions.com for more information. Our customers agree. If asked, they could, should, and would do it again at Dogwood. This question is for all managers. How often do you feel like Charlie Brown's teacher when speaking to your team? With Coached Up, the snooze fest is over. Founder and CEO, speaker, and corporate trainer, Levy D. King III is the answer to attention competition. For 16 years and counting, Coached Up continues to transform messages into life-changing perspectives for his corporate, civic, and nonprofit audiences. Coached Up provides learning and professional development solutions for departments across entire organizations that align and develop with the best of their culture. Clients echo Coached Up by helping to improve
improve collaboration, engagement, and foster team synergy, creativity, and innovation. To reclaim your team's attention and build your organizational culture, call Coached Up at 251-298-7615 or visit Coached Up on Facebook at Coached Up to Success or online at CoachedUpToSuccess.com. That's Coached Up, the number two, success.com.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now, let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who are just now joining us, we are going into our very last segment of Season 5. We want to take one more opportunity to thank Mr. Joe Bonner, the president of University of South Alabama, for being so gracious with his time and sharing what his vision is for making the University of South Alabama the flagship of the South. Also, I want to give one additional shout out since University of South Alabama is kind of top of mind, and that is to Miss Sydney Davis, who is a freshman at University of South Alabama and who is the president and CEO of the Happy Lettering Company.
Yay, Sydney.
Yay, Sydney. We had the opportunity to hear her address the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce president, among a number of other distinguished dignitaries who were all gathered for an event with Junior Achievement here last week. And so she talked about what she was doing at the Happy Lettering Company. And she has an absolutely bright future. So we just wanted to make sure we gave her that shout out here on air. So Aqualyn, with that, we are coming to the end of Season 5. Hard
season
to believe, huh?
5. I cannot believe it. But yes, I can. You know, it has been quite the adventure from the time that we began this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, back in 2019, our very first conversation was one that was near and dear to my heart about the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Dr. Kavita Patel, one of my dear friends from childhood,
yes.
Who's now a decorated doctor and just amazing woman up in D.C., really walk us through how important that legislation is to making sure that people like me who could not get health coverage and health insurance actually had an opportunity to get it and to survive and become productive members of society. So really excited about it. The thing that's sad is that we still have not expanded Medicaid here to make sure that all of Alabama can actually enjoy that same benefit. So hopefully the good, hardworking folks of Alabama deserve the support of our legislators. They deserve the support of everyone here to make sure that they actually have a way to be as healthy as possible. So we really hope that we get there. And yeah, that was just really powerful. But, you know, just thinking back through it. So we started there and we hit a number of topics. We went on through Season 2. We started off with public education in the state of Alabama. So just think about what was happening then. That was January 3rd. Then we went on into Season 3 and it started right at the top, right into our candidates. We started with our candidate, right. Dr. J.T. Averhart. And we focused a veteran spotlight on Jeffrey Kennedy.
And we're right back to Veterans Day.
We're right back
today.
To Veterans Day.
You know,
yeah.
And we'll take the opportunity to shout out once again all of our brothers and sisters who served in uniform. We know the sacrifices that they make and their families make in order to keep all of us free. And in addition to the folks who served in uniform, we want to take the opportunity to do an additional shout out to the Department of Defense civilians who supported those of us who wore the uniform, as well as all the other U.S. government civilians who are performing logistical and supply chain and intelligence work that helps the men and women in uniform as well. So thank you guys all on this Veterans Day.
We had so much support from this group, from every single group, and we are so thankful for your service. Even just going, all of our legislators, we've had a number of legislators on. We've had a number of people, all of our candidates who want to get in there and serve this community. It's been really powerful.
And I would just add that for the incumbent elected officials that we've had as members of the show. Some have been Democrats. Some have been Republicans.
Absolutely.
Some have been independents or nonpartisans. So one of the things we really wanted to emphasize at Kennedy for Alabama was giving the audience the opportunity to hear a wide range of voices.
A very wide range. And, you know, for the first time, our libertarian friends.
Yes.
So, right? You know, So they did a whole lot of work this year, and we actually had them in. And that was really, really a pleasure to hear from them and understand, you know, some of their passion and what they're looking for. But even if we go back and just kind of finish these last couple of seasons on where we started for season four, we had Mr. Don Siegelman, former governor.
Yes, Governor
right?
Siegelman. Yes.
And that was a fantastic show. That was back June 10th of 2021. And then we finished up here this season, season five. We started it off with Josh Moon. Lots of fun. Investigative reporter with Alabama Political Reporter and Jason Fisher. So it's just spanned so many people, so many topics. We hope that you'll take a look at KennedyForAlabama.com podcast. Catch up on some of the really great conversations that we've had with amazing people in Alabama.
All right. So this is the time in the few minutes that we have left that we want to give some thank yous. First, we want to thank our lead sponsors, Kennedy Strategic Communications, Dogwood Productions, Coached Up, and the UPS Store. Okay. We would like to thank our partner radio stations starting here at home, FM Talk 106.5 in the Mobile Market, WVNN in the Huntsville Market, and News Talk 93.1 in the Montgomery Market.
Yes.
We'd like to thank all of our producers, starting with the one and only world-famous Charlie Moss.
Yay, Charlie.
Who has been doing
it's
most...
It's been a pleasure being here with you guys every week.
Yes, Charlie does talk for everyone who has asked about him over the years. For Mr. Philip Bush, who stood in and pitch hit for us when we needed to record episodes on days when Charlie wasn't here. Definitely want to give a special shout out to Mr. Dalton Orwig.
Amazing.
Who is the co-host of Mobile Mornings. Dalton is the one who does all the packaging work to make sure the shows are packaged and delivered to our friends in Huntsville and in Montgomery as well.
Thank you, thank you.
And then last but no wise least, Mr. Sean Sullivan, who's the general manager here at FM Talk 106.5 and the host of Midday Mobile. And the one individual who was initially responsible for getting me here into broadcast radio when I challenged him to make sure that he included a Democratic perspective when we were debating the issues of the day, he literally responded by saying, so when are you coming on?
Thank you, Sean.
So
you did
a lot,
that.
Sean.
You did that.
And then as we go here into the last minute before the show ends, the folks behind Kennedy Strategic Communications are first and foremost Miss Aquilin Kennedy,
hey
my
there.
Lovely wife.
Thank you all.
Who has the esteemed challenge of trying to keep me on track as I am going through and doing this show. She often reminds me that she is the one who is in charge. And last voice that you have not heard on here very many times, but she appeared once, is Miss Adrienne Kennedy, who is our research coordinator and the one who's responsible for getting our podcast put up with the external organization, who, by the way, will be getting married here at the end of the month. So,
excited.
Shout out to Adrienne Kennedy. We love you and are looking forward to success with you. And then a happy birthday shout out to my mother-in-law, Mrs. Lowry.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Her birthday is today. She is a Veterans Day baby. And I guess we'll start it with the way that we ended it and simply say happy Veterans Day to all the veterans who had the opportunities to serve in uniform. So with that, season five of Kennedy for Alabama comes to an end. And we are so thankful for you, the listening audience, for tuning in to hear us from time to time. So until the next season, I am Robert Kennedy Jr.
And Aquilin Kennedy.
And we are
Kennedy for Alabama.